Thank you, Gene.
Amen.
All right. Hey, guys, I'm wrapping up. Oh, finding the love of your life today. Not awesome relationships. We're going to do one more week or maybe 2 weekends of awesome relationships. We're going to be talking about having a friendship with God next week. But we started last week about finding the love of your life. And we just talked about a couple of things. And the first thing I told you guys about was the very first thing you can do before you can find the love of your life. And this is, and I think everybody needs to know this because, you know, you got kids, you got grandkids, you got nephews, you got whoever, they're in this stage. Or you may be in this stage too that you're looking for the love of your life. And so you need to know these things. And it's important. And I'll get into that more later. But the first thing you need to do to find the love of your life is you need to answer this question. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? Because if you're not right with God, then you're not right with yourself. And you're certainly not ready to find the love of your life. Are you right with God? Write that down. Colleen and I were talking in the 8 o'clock service that there's something about putting pen to paper that makes you remember things. Are you right with God? The second thing we talked about last week, you know, the love story about Abraham, Isaac, and you know, everyone involved there, the servant, Laban, when he went to get Isaac's wife from the Abraham's country. He said, sometimes you need a little help in finding the love of your life. That you can't see her, or you can't see him because you got all these other different kind of perspectives going on, and somebody else just might can see better than you are. I told you guys, you know, they played a trick on me and they introduced me to Angie and Angie to me. Sometimes other people can see better than you can. Amen? And so sometimes we need a little help from our community. But so we talked about last week, we talked about different ways of choosing the love of your life. And if you missed that CD, please, I urge you to get it. Or it's on Stitcher. It's on our website. You can listen to it there. But let's jump over to another way to talk real quickly about choosing the love of your life. And this happens a lot in our world today. Do you remember David? King David over in the Old Testament? Y'all remember him? We talked about him a good bit. David had a couple of wives. And the more I read this story, a lot of you guys are familiar with his story about where he went and he used to stand on top of his house every day, his palace, and he would look out over the city. And the more I read that, I don't think David's motives were very pure. He was looking to see the ladies that were sunbathing. And he knew they were out there. But he would go up during the day when they were doing this, and he would look out. And that's what it looks to me like every time I read it, that he was doing this. So he sees this woman that was very beautiful. That at the sight of her, he just, you know, he said, "Who is she?" And his servant says, "Her name is Bathsheba." And he said, "She is the love of my life." All he did was lay eyes on her one time. He said, "She is the love of my life." And he said, "Well, sir, King David, she's already married." He said, "Well, you know what? I understand that." He says, "But bring her to me anyway." He said, "I at least want to meet her." That gets us folks in a lot of trouble. A lot of times we get in a lot of trouble at that point where we at least want to meet her. I at least want to meet her. I know she's married, or I know he's married, but I at least want to talk to him. I at least want to meet her. And that's the beginning of trouble. Well, he meets her and he finds out about her husband. I just wondered, because I couldn't remember his name until I read it. Does anybody remember his name?
Uriah.
Uriah. That's right. Uriah. And he finds out about Uriah. David kind of hatches a plan, because he's wanting to go after another man's wife. And he talks to the officers. He said, the next battle you have, put Uriah up front. He said, put Uriah up front so that he could be killed. And then David could have Bathsheba. So I want to ask you now, do you want to find the love of your life that way? It's so sad. I mean, as I read that, it's evil. It's awful that you would want something so bad, so selfishly, that you would go after another person's spouse. That you would go after another man's wife, another lady's husband. And we say that about David and Bathsheba, but it happens today. It happens today. Let's go on over to the New Testament. We're going to be in John chapter 2 for a little while if you want to go there. This chapter is what was a changing point in one of my, I guess you could say, theology, but then I just sound like a preacher. When I first started pastoring North Point Church, I absolutely hated weddings. I hated to do weddings. They was always on Saturday. They were always emotional. They were always just the number one thing. They were the focus, the center of the world. And they still are, and it gets on my nerves, but it's important to me now. But what changed me was Jesus went to one. And it was important enough for them to record it in his word that he went to a wedding feast of Cana of Galilee. And his mom was with him. And they run out of wine. I love it, you know, because Mary says, you know, just take it to my son. Let him take care of it. I like Mary. I don't think she was a weak lady. The more I read about her, she was strong. But Jesus said, Mom, I haven't come into my power yet. But Mary didn't take, she was a strong-willed lady. She didn't take no for an answer. She said, bring the pots over to him. You can do this. You know, I was sitting there thinking when I was reading that, I thought, Jesus must have did a few little miracles at home. He must did something like that for Mary to know, you know. He hadn't went into the thing. Because this is his first public miracle. It was at this wedding. So I found it interesting that Jesus was at a wedding. First of all, you know, nobody invites a fuddy-duddy to a wedding. You know, they want you to have fun. You know, nobody says, you know, Jim's a, when they're going down their wedding list, because they got to pay for them and everything to eat and all this stuff, they don't go down there and say, hey, Jim's a pain in the butt. Let's invite him. So no, they said, Jesus is a fun guy. So apparently Jesus was a fun guy. But I think what was even more interesting to me was that Jesus was beginning his ministry here. He'd gathered some disciples, and he only had 3 years. And yet he took the time out of a very very small window to go to a wedding and to perform his first miracle there. A very narrow window. So it's important. That told me that marriage, weddings are important. They brought the water to him and they turned it into wine. Now this was the first miracle. His first miracle was at a wedding feast. So it's important. No telling what might happen there. So we know that Jesus blesses marriage. Now, did you know he was not married himself? And most of his disciples weren't married. Did y'all know that? The only one we know that was married was who?
Peter.
That's exactly right. He was the only one we know that was married. And so, but Jesus still said marriage is important. It's important. So he turns the water into wine and the wine steward. There's a fancy name for somebody that takes care of wine. And my nephew's one of them out in California. I'm not sure what it is, but we'll say wine steward today. He says, this is odd. After Jesus turned this water into wine, he said, usually the best wine is brought out first and the lousy stuff's brought out last. I mean, usually you get, you know, brass monkey or something like that. At the end. Y'all ever heard of Brass Monkey? Y'all never heard of Brass Monkey? Apparently, y'all ain't lived the same life I have. Boone's, OMD, Mad Dog. There's a man that might have run with me. But he said, y'all brought out the good stuff. At the end, this is the good stuff. You know what that tells me about Jesus, really? That whatever Jesus does, he does it with class. Whatever he does it with class. So, weddings are important. Marriage is important. Having a companion is important. Because we never quit wanting to have a companion to share life with, no matter what your age. Really? I talked with a man yesterday. He said, I'm done with women. I'm done. No more. I thought, boy, keep you fixing to draw back that bow. As soon as you say you're done, you fall in love or something. Something happens. I guess no matter what your age, I want to tell you this. Looking for your for true love, I ask you to do it with great wisdom. Do it with wisdom. And God has made us people who long for companionship, and he's given us a chance to do life together, but we need to do it with the right person. With the right person, and he wants us to put a lot of thought in it. So many times we don't put a lot of thought in it. We just look out over the buildings and say, Bathsheba, she's the one love of my life. And God had a hard time with that. David taking another man's wife and the way that he did that. God didn't like that. So pray about it with all your hearts. Pray passionately for your children. For your grandchildren, for their future spouses. I'm telling you, I took something from the last Ford's meeting. And every morning when I do my, ever since then, every morning when I do my devotional, I write it out. And then I write to Luke, I put, Dear Luke, I've been doing Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. I recommend that to anybody. But I've been doing that, and I write out my thoughts on it, and then I put a PS, and I give him some practical advice. And then I found myself realizing that my prayer, especially since he's 19 now, my prayers have become extra passionate for his spouse. That's going to be here. I don't know who she is, and you know, or what, but I put that at that legal pad. I sit it in his truck seat every morning so that he sees it every morning and he reads it. So I sat it in his truck seat in this morning and I grabbed hold of the side of his truck and I said, old devil, you ain't got a chance against my son because I'm praying for him and I'm praying for his future wife. He may stray, but you can't have him. Begin to pray passionately. Guys, pray passionately for your children. Get close with God on this issue. With your grandchildren. You know, dedicate that grandchild to the Lord. And you pray for that grandchild every day, whether they're one or two. So today, if you're thinking about finding the love of your life, I want to tell you, there's somebody out there for you. There's someone there. And if you will work really hard, you can find the right person. You can find the right person. Because it's important. God said in his word, Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by everyone. We're getting close, and no, we are. We're dishonoring marriage in America. We told y'all a few weeks ago that the definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. God created it, period. And we should honor that. Genesis 2:18 says, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a companion who is right for him. There's someone out there. If you are truly looking for the love of your life, you can find him or her. But it's going to take work. Malachi 2:15 says, this is important too. We've sort of tried to redefine marriage. Malachi 2:15 says, God, not you, made marriage. God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And what does he want from marriage? Godly children from your union. Here's what I like. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. Guard the spirit of marriage in you. Church, it's up to us to guard that spirit. Guard that spirit. Now, you don't have to get married. Like I said a while ago, almost none of his disciples, his immediate circle, were married except for Peter. So it's good if you have the gift of singleness. It's good. The founders of the church today were not married. And they never got married. But some of you guys know, see me cutting grass and I got these red beets on. Well, every once in a while, I listen to country music. I like country, and I like Rascal Flatts. You know that guy that got real nasal sing? And this song come on the other day. It said, I was just cutting grass, and God bless the broken road. Y'all heard that? Don't listen to that. I sitting there listening to Bless the Broken Road, and I got to thinking about the broken road I was on that led me to Angie. I'm glad he blessed it. But then my mind started going different places. I'm just being honest. We got to be careful what we put in our mind. But anyway, I was listening to that, and I thought of all the different bad experiences that I'd had with my other relationships. And I thought about how I was led to Angie. And I got to tell you, for 26 years, you know, I ain't going to say it's been all roses and peaches and cream, because Angie messes up sometimes. But it is a phenomenal experience when you get married to the right person. It really is. And I'm glad he blessed my broken road. And it's phenomenal. Even after years of searching. I want to wrap this up with some practical tips. And I want you to write them down. Like I said, there's some things about putting pen to paper, especially if you're searching for love, and especially if you got kids, or if you got nephews, or you got nieces, or one of these days you think you might be looking. You may be at a point where the guy yesterday said, I'm done. I'm done. Here's the first thing that you got to take care of. We said it in the beginning. The single most important thing is getting yourself into the right relationship with God before you do anything. That's the single most important thing for you to do, is get in a right relationship with God before you do anything. Because then you'll have the big question answered. Then you'll know exactly who you are and what you're looking for. Well, let me give you a few don'ts of finding the right marriage partner. Write these down. I really want you to write these down. Don't get married too quickly. Don't get married too quickly. Don't get married at a young age. Don't get married at a young age. And here's one that's really worth writing down. Don't get married to please someone else. Don't get married to please someone else, including the person you might marry. Don't get married just to please them. Don't get married to anyone. If your experience base with them is too narrow, what I mean by that is if you ain't spent a lot of time with them. You haven't had a lot of experience with them. It don't need to be narrow. Don't get married. They laughed at this one in the 8 o'clock service because then they said, we'll never meet anyone. Don't get married to anyone who has an unaddressed personality problem. I'm talking unaddressed. If they're not dealing with a personality issue, then you don't need to marry them. Amen? Yeah, I had to wait on Angie for a while till she dealt with hers. She's not in here, is she? I hope she's not. But don't get married to anyone who has an unaddressed personality problem. Next. Kind of falls in line with all of them. Don't be manipulated. Don't be manipulated. Here's what you do. Figure out right now the 20 most important qualities that you want in a marriage partner, and you make a list. 20 most important marriage qualities that you want in a marriage partner, and you write it down. Put a pen to paper. I had somebody say, well, I ain't gonna spend no time writing that down. I got it right here. You spend 10 minutes writing down a grocery list, and you won't write down what you're gonna look at for life? And let me just throw that in there. Since I'm making suggestions, I am your pastor, and I do love you, especially a lot of you young folks that grew up here. But I love every one of you that take time to come out here and worship God with us. I want to tell you this. On the top of that list, it ought to be that I want to marry a godly man or a godly woman. And next, it ought to be they need to be in church. And I ain't talking about once every 2 or 3 months or once just they come just because they're serving in the nursery or they're singing this Sunday. Amen? That they need to be, because guys, you need to be in church to grow socially, spiritually, and maturely. We need to worship God together. It's important. The Bible says don't give up worshiping together. So I remember when I was a kid, the old ladies, of course, they was just in their 30s then, but I was thinking they was in their 30s. I remember one saying there at Prospect Baptist Church, I remember them saying, if they're not in church when you meet them, they won't be in church when you need them. I never forgot that. Because it's important. Amen? I see too many ladies coming to church without their husbands. And so make that a part of your top 20, all right? You know, you put number 3, he needs to be from Rockmart too. But anyway, make a list. You know, parents, encourage your kids to, encourage your grandchildren to make a list of 20 qualities. Then I want you to make another list. You figure out the 20 most important qualities that you can't stand in a partner. That you can't stand in a partner. And you make a list of that. I can't stand this. I bet Angie wished you'd put aggravating on her list. But this is just as important as you do the what you like. Especially while you're dating. I'm going to tell you something about if you're dating. If you see that you couldn't spend the rest of your life with that man or that woman, then you need to stop seeing them today. You need to make that call, say, you know what? You all right, and you're a good person, but I can't see you no more. Because I've noticed some things that happened between me and you that I just couldn't spend the rest of my life with you. So I'm not going to put myself in a compromising position and maybe wind up spending the rest of my life somehow connected to you. Amen? Be careful. Be careful. You need to stop. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm your pastor and I love you. And you may disagree with me. And like I've told y'all 100 times before, it's okay if you're wrong. You cannot be friends with someone of the opposite sex. What I mean by that is I've had so many people in my office that are going through a divorce. And one of them will tell me that they're, you know, I'm upset because they text this person all the time, or they talk to them on Facebook all the time. And they say, well, we're just friends. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. It's not possible because something comes up every time. That's why we here at North Point Church, men and women in leadership, do not meet with one another by themselves. We do not go to lunch with one another. I'm telling you guys, if your husband or your wife sees that there's a problem with you going to lunch with the opposite sex, listen to them. Listen to them. You may be wrong, but I'm telling you, men and women cannot be close friends. You can write that down. Next thing, I want you to look for similarities. Look for similarities in a future spouse. That's something that you can kind of, because I'm going to tell you something. Similarities are like money in the bank. Something you can talk about. Something you can just get excited about. You know, and I hate to mention it a lot, but it's just a big part of my life now. And it's CrossFit. Angie started doing CrossFit a couple of months ago, maybe 3 months ago. Shoot. We talk about sandbags, burpees, wall balls, you know, power snatches. We talk about all kinds of stuff. And it's fun that we have these similar enjoy the similar things. And find some similarities. If you guys ain't got nothing in common, you ain't got no money in the bank. You got to have something where it's your ministry, where you serve together. You know, I love going up there and watching Bob and Susan. I picked on Bob a little bit this morning, but they have a similarities with that food bank. They both have a passion for it. Yeah, make sure. The next one is this. Make sure there's chemistry. There needs to be chemistry. There needs to be an attraction. Because nobody woke up and said, you know what, I'm going to look for an ugly man that I'm not attracted to. And I know ain't no guy said, you know what? I'm looking for a dog. I just want an ugly woman. I'm talking about one that's got to sneak up on the straw to get a drink of water. Nobody is doing. Nobody done that this morning. Amen? So there has to be some chemistry. There has to be some chemistry. But what I'm saying is don't give chemistry too big a role to play. Chemistry was what played in David and Bathsheba. And it was probably the only role. And a lot of consequences happen, bad consequences happen because of it. So don't let it play too big a role. So wrapping it up, start right now. At the center of yourself. Get right with your maker, then you'll be right with yourself. But I want to tell you guys, don't discount how hard it is to find the love of your life. It is hard. But I want to tell you, Jesus blesses marriage. God created it, and I'm praying for you guys that are looking for the love of your life. If you're dating now, you know, you may be sitting here right now and you're looking for that. And if you want me to pray for you today, I'd love to. If you want to come down front when we go to sing here in a little bit, I would love to pray for you. And even if you brought your date with you, don't worry about what they might think. Your date may be thinking, I'm in the hot seat. I may be ejected after church today. But you know what? That'd be all right. That'd be good for both of y'all. It might hurt a little bit now, you know, but you get over it, punk. Anyway. But, you know, this is serious business. We're talking about spending your life with someone. The rest of your life. It's serious business. If they don't match those 20 qualities, if they're only hitting about, you know, 2 out of 20 cylinders, you better give them the boot. And if they're hitting all 20 qualities that you don't like, don't even get in a car with them when you leave today. Amen? I'm serious. Let's pray. If you want me to pray for you, please come down while they sing, and I'll pray for you. I'll anoint you with oil, bear spray, whatever, to keep him away or keep her away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I love the way you blessed marriage. I love the way you took time out of the heavy schedule that you had and performed your first miracle at a wedding. So, Lord, I pray that for these folk, young, old, middle-aged, as they're looking for the love of their life, that they do it the right way. I pray, Lord, and I ask you your favor on them as they make out their list today. And I pray that they do, that they put pen to paper and they make a list of their likes and their dislikes, of what they see in a marriage partner. I thank you for your word. Thank you that you saw fit to write it down in John. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.